It's been 3 weeks since the last instalment of the podcast, and I'm not going to lie, the boys and I have been flat out working. However, myself, Zabo and Little B were able to find a couple of hours to get together and record episode 71. With so much work on our plates, the upside is that we have plenty to talk about in caddy stories. Bad etiquette, golf cart flipping, heavy bags, and much, much more. After story time, we turn our attention to events at Torrey Pines, where John Rahm won his first major championship. We'll briefly look at the main talking points before concluding the episode with notable mentions, listener mailbag questions, and a Bubba Watson Bell End of the Week award. If you have any questions or comments, please contact us on social media or via email, podcast@glorifieddonkey.com. Many thanks for your continued support and feedback. Please sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. Welcome to episode 71 of the Real Life Caddy podcast. It's called Ramming It. And that may have reference to the US Open that just finished about 10 days ago. I'm here with Man Bun himself, Little B.
That's me.
That's him. And crowd favourite, Zabo.
That's me as well. Good to be here.
Yeah. Working hard, boys, huh?
I am. I'd like to use the old adage, hardly working, but that's not true. No. I've been working very hard, as we all have.
Little B?
I've been working a ton. I've only taken maybe 2 days off in the last 20 days.
How about you, G? You've been working a lot?
Killing it. Absolutely killing it. I get so many stories from... Actually meant to get a podcast out last week. This is now a little over 3 weeks since the last one came out. So I do apologize to the regular listeners for that, but it has just been so busy, so many stories. I need to start off with, I refuse to carry a bag since we last recorded a podcast.
Wow.
I refused.
Was it a bag that was certified to be carried or?
So it's the usual, people not doing their jobs in my opinion. I was the only guy in the barn, the guys are on the first tee. And I asked the carry master, is it a walking job or are we throwing them in a car? He says, I think it's a walking job. That's okay. So yeah. I go down. I said, have the bags been checked? Because nowadays they're supposed to be, weighing the bags.
Absolutely.
I personally don't think we should be weighing them. I think we should just decide I'm either carrying that or not. Because like Man Bun's half my size.
Correct? Yeah, that is a hot topic of conversation. But then again, they look at a big guy like you and they say, well, you're a big guy. You can handle this bag.
So. Exactly. I absolutely
Which is
hate
not
that.
Right either. Yeah, it should be. I mean, but it is. It is up to the caddy. You can choose to refuse a bag, but there is a number they put out there.
They do. Anyway, they said, oh, yeah, one bag's been sorted. I go down, I meet the guy. I see it. It's a hoofer. You know, it's a double-strapped hoofer. You know, it doesn't look good to me.
Yeah.
And the second guy comes across, puts his bag down, it falls over, it's no stand, so we're changing that out, no problem. So I pick up the ping hoofer, and I just went, no, it's not going to work today.
Yeah.
And I said, listen, is there anything you want to take out? No, I need everything in that bag.
Oh, of course you do. Everything.
Needs everything.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so well, then the starter says, well, do you mind changing the bag out? He goes, no, I need that bag. But I just looked at him, I just went, well, that's not going to work for me today, so you enjoy your round. And I just walked off to the barn, shook his hand, goodbye.
Yeah.
So I'm up there talking to another caddy, and then the caddy master comes up and says, he's going to carry his own bag. I thought, oh, brilliant. Just help him?
Yeah,
okay. So I go back down to the tee. You know,
hello again.
Yeah.
it's me. It's me again.
I'm back.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those funny things where I don't feel bad about it. I don't feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, you shouldn't. Yeah.
So I go down. I'm like, okay, so you're going to carry your own bag today? And I smile at him. He goes, yeah, no problem. I can do this. Well, every three holes, I pick the bag up. I just look at him and go, kind of heavy, huh? And he's like, oh, it's okay. He then drops the ball and he tells me that he lives in a golf course. He has his own cart and he only ever drives a cart.
Of course. I'm thinking, of course, yeah. So, well, I never carry the bag.
That's it. By the time we get to the 14th, he's lagging 60, 70 yards behind. I got on very well with his mate. It's called Steve Davis, cardiologist from Arkansas.
Wow.
Listens to the podcast, so hello, Steve. I got on very well with him, and I knew they were playing the Wii course 2 days later. And I text Steve on this Saturday night and says, listen, by the way, I'm free tomorrow if you need me. He says,
I really like to see your buddy carry his bag around there.
Well, yeah. No, Steve just said, I think we'll pass. So obviously I had left my impression, but you know what? I just, you know, I'm done carrying off bags like that. You know, yeah.
No, I'm with you. I mean, if there's a bag that's uncomfortable, why make yourself miserable for 5 hours by carrying it when you can just say, sorry, not going to do it?
Well, we have a potential bell end of the week. It was a job you gave me.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Jeez.
Was this a recent one? Oh, this, not that recent.
This was about 10 days ago. His name, you know, Peter Maller.
Ooh, we're going to name names. Yeah. We're naming names.
We're naming names because I know he listens. He's been listening to all of them. He drives a lot.
Okay, what happened?
Saturday afternoon, I get to the 12th hole. I'm thinking, that's my second loop. And I felt, oh, this thing's heavy. And I just look in the ball bag, you know, the ball bag and the golf bag.
Yeah.
And I start pulling out dozens. It was 33 golf balls.
33
golf balls in the bag. And wow. I'm just going, are you
completely
serious?
Completely uncalled for.
33?
Oh, one golf ball weighs a little over a tenth of a pound. So that was 3.5 pounds of golf balls.
Just,
do you know how many balls he lost?
Two.
None.
None, yeah. Played none. The same ball.
None.
All
zero.
Yeah. Zero. So the following day, I said, please lighten that up. He said, oh,
yeah, I mean, beyond 4 to 6, I mean, 6 is excessive, but beyond 4 to 6 golf balls, if you're going to lose that many, I'm going to find some along the way anyways. You're not going to lose that many golf balls.
Or you need to take up bowling. Like, how many do you, Brandon, how many do you have in your bag?
How many do I have in my bag?
Yeah.
Well, I throw all my pearls in my bag. I mean, I usually don't carry my own bag, but when I do, I take out the balls and I have maybe eight balls. Maybe I want a different one, or I like a couple numbers. This one, you know, I remember when I found this one, I'll throw that one in there, and that's about it.
That's an interesting thing, actually. People putting the numbers in the balls. Have you ever, like, I don't.
What, like higher numbers or?
No, 69 or double zero or 31.
That's become a thing. A lot of people do that. People, they special order those balls with the higher numbers.
Never cared.
I just go with the Titleist 2. That's my favorite.
You like Titleist 2?
Titleist 2, Black Pro V1.
Whatever ball I find on the golf course. So.
Exactly. Never bought a ball
in my
life. I'm a caddy.
I mean, I find golf balls and I hit them.
Well, what's interesting is I actually said to Pete, please lighten up for the following day. So he takes a lot of balls out. And next thing, there's a JBL music.
He's replaced the balls with a 4-pound speaker.
The balls weighed 3.5 pounds, and the speaker weighs 4.5.
It's like a tall boy. It's like a Budweiser tall boy. It's huge.
Oh, yeah. Full.
And then there's a water container in the other bag, his mate's bag.
Well, did he at least play good music?
No. No, it was country, which I like quite like country, but 6 hours of it.
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, like no, the jukebox.
Big G's more of a gangster rap kind of guy.
No, I'm more of a more techno European trash.
Are you really? Yeah. Do you listen to techno?
Oh yeah, I love that. I love the bounce. I'll pass the ball on to you boys because it will come back to me. I get loads to talk about.
Yeah,
Brandon, anything that's pertains to what I've been talking about.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've after I had my surgery, I basically said,
what was the surgery again?
Anybody who listens to the show knows I had a little elective surgery in my groin area.
We can't do a podcast.
But anyways, I've healed up fully from that, and I'm back to carrying bags. And I just said, hey, like, I know I'm a yes man, right? So I'm like, I say yes to a lot of things because, you know, but at the bottom line is that you say yes to the wrong thing, then you're stuck with it, right? You say yes to a bag that's too heavy when you know damn well the answer's no. It's only your problem. It's only my problem, right? The player, if a bag is too heavy, there is something in that bag that is totally, completely unnecessary, and it's just completely uncalled for. Let's face it, folks. We're going out to play a game. We're going to play golf.
Yeah,
the game of golf. You're going out to hit a golf ball and to look for your next ball and hit the ball again.
Uh-huh.
And that's what you're doing. We're not out here. You know, you buy the drinks off the cart. That's it. What else do you need? You don't need, you barely even need 14 clubs.
No, I've said it for a long time.
Yeah. 14 is too many.
11.
Number, yeah.
11.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I've basically set a boundary with myself that I will no longer, I'm not veering from my boundary.
Nice. Setting boundaries.
Yeah,
I like that.
Setting boundaries.
Yeah, I tell my 5-year-old the same thing.
I think it's like 20, 21, 22 pounds. I think that's pretty much it. After that, sorry. And I'm okay with it.
I think it should be 17, 16, 17.
Wow. Wow.
I've always maintained I don't believe I'm there to carry the bags.
Have you ever tested that theory, though? Have you ever put 14 clubs, 5 golf balls, and picked up a golf bag?
I will.
Bag?
I am going to do it when I have a wee bit more time.
If you're putting together ladies' graphite shafts and all that, you can probably get that, but you're not going to get a steel set with any reasonable golf bag and 6 golf balls and maybe a wind jacket that's going to be 17 pounds. That doesn't exist.
Guarantee I can do it, Zabo.
You can't.
Guarantee it. I will do it. Well, listen, before the next podcast, I'm going to do it.
Maybe we can post it on YouTube.
Yes.
We'll show you what a golf bag actually weighs, because exactly. It's not 17 pounds.
It should be 15 then. I'll get it down to 15.
We'll see.
I caddied for 4 women. I caddied for 2 women. We had a group of 4.
All right.
2 of the ladies, preferred ladies, which has nothing to do with the story, but I'm just painting you a picture here. And this was a job referred to us by me and another caddy, because he had a better job. He didn't want to caddy for 4 women for 3 days. And so first day is at the... the ugly duckling, we'll call it, the course that nobody likes to caddy at. And for caddying for 4 women who are walking for 3 days, first day of the job, we are really rolling the dice, right? And so I agree to do the job, and I show up. The 2 ladies go to the wrong golf course, okay? And the other 2 ladies are here. And as soon as the ladies come down the hill with their bags on the customer service cart, and the customer service guy throws them down, I'm like, those are 2 carrying bags. I'm taking those. And I kind of pulled...
rank.
I pulled rank. But I was like, those are my bags. They were 2 light bags that looked like windbreakers. You know, the windbreaker material. The bags, I think they had 8 or 9 women's golf clubs in them each. And they said, oh, yeah, we'd lighten the bags up because we wanted to be nice, you know, for the caddy. Yeah. Now, in contrast to that, the other caddy, the other 2 bags were pointed out. Now, these bags looked like Louis Vuitton
trunks.
Okay. Golf bags that are made out of, you know, obviously some sort of plastic material with lots of, framing and like, Even the towel hook was solid frickin' metal. And
it's made for a golf cart.
And we had to, ask the ladies who are from the East Coast, you know, women who preferred women. And they kind of looked at us and they were like,
mine up.
They were just like, what do you mean change the bag? I already lightened up the bag.
Oh, geez.
Of course, the guy puts it on the scale and it's 25, 26 pounds. And they're just really getting down to the nitty gritty. So as far as they think about the bag weight, and you know, my coworker had to carry the bags.
Ooh.
And you know, he got them on the cart the next 2 days. But mm-hmm. I was happily walking down the middle of the fairway with these 2 very light golf bags, you know, caddying for these 2 women who were super stoked. And
the other caddy has a scowl on his face.
And the other caddy's like, you. You SOB, you pulled, he actually said, you pulled a Billy on me, for those of you who know Billy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you guys are kooks. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, he told me I pulled a Billy on me, and basically that's it.
Have you boys ever heard of a company called Ryanair?
Ryanair?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have.
The only thing you don't do is fly the plane, basically. They've stripped, basically flying used to be this wonderful experience,
uh-huh.
And Ryanair have basically raped it. To the point where, like, if you haven't printed your ticket, it'll cost you £45 or wow. euros.
Yeah,
right?
I flew Ryanair one time in Europe.
Oh,
but the actual fare is like $20 or something.
Yeah,
crazy
exactly.
Cheap,
yeah. So it's cheap as chips. Or sometimes all you do is pay the tax.
Oh, gotcha.
So you just go on with your wallet and make sure you print your boarding pass. Myself and the wife once went to the south of France. 10 kilos, that's £22 per bag. That's each. Right, so we're clearly together. I had this horrific hangover, right? And it's 100, 105 degrees.
Mm.
And we go through and she says, your bag is 12 kilos, hers is 8. I was like, you were together. What does it matter?
Yeah.
So we had to go out twice, take stuff out of one case, put it in the other,
oh, God.
Until we had exactly 10 and 10. And she goes, okay, now you're good to go. Now, what we should do, I don't mind carrying a heavy bag, but I'm going to start putting a tariff on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Charge per pound.
Charge per pound.
Oh, now we're talking.
You see? Oh, now we go. See, Xabo's all about the green.
Now he's all about it.
Get that up to 40 pounds. Yeah. We start charging per pound.
I'll carry the 42
pounds. I can see your shoulders are drooping. You've been working a lot. Yeah, I've been making a lot of money, though.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a guy, regular, you know, Mr. Captain Butter was actually saying, oh, I hear you guys complaining a lot lately about, you know, carrying bags and stuff. I'm like, yeah, because it's our bodies, man.
Well, that, and we just really started carrying bags again not too long ago. I mean, we were off carrying bags for a long time. So there's bound to be some complaints and some grumpiness over care, especially carrying heavy golf bags.
I've never had any problem in the nether region. You know, I was like a cheese grater for, I don't know, 3 months there. Just absolutely.
Because you've caddied in Scotland and here. You caddy in those hot places, man. That you have problems down there all the time.
I'd mentioned Steve Davis and how his mate carried his own bag. Steve's a cardiologist, like I mentioned. And during the conversation, he's a funny guy. He's got a good sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about getting experts on the podcast talking about skin cancer or
health and fitness. Yeah, I got a good guy for that.
Yeah, cardiologist. That was the last one. Within 48 hours after the last podcast, we've met a cardiologist and a dermatological surgeon.
Crazy. So funny guys too. Yeah.
Fantastic. So, but I was talking to Steve about it. I said, listen, it's a matter of time before someone goes pop out here.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd love to have you on so you could talk, you know, educate the listeners as well as you can via a podcast of what to do in an emergency. Well, roll on 2 weeks. This is 2 weeks ago, but 2 weeks after I first meet Steve. And I'm carrying for a father's son, very early morning, and a couple of guys from the Big D.
Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit. And is that how it sounds like? Detroit.
Yeah. Something like that.
No, Detroit.
Detroit. Yeah. Detroit. So Bob and Ted, they're you know, a couple of cool guys. I'm talking to them the first 3-4 holes. Fourth hole, Bob gets himself one of those monster drinks.
Oh, yeah. Heart attack in a can.
Yeah, well, it's sugar-free, but I later checked, 160 milligrams of caffeine, which is basically 2 to 3 cups of coffee in a can.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
He's pulling trolley. We get up the sixth hole, which is really... This is basically exactly what happened cardiologist Steve, I had the conversation in the sixth hole, and we get to the top, pulling trolley. I hear this noise behind me, and Bob had a massive heart attack.
Crazy.
Unbelievable. And 911's called, the security turned up, he's ex-army, 2 or 3 minutes after he's hit the deck, he still had a pulse, he was breathing, but I was trying to talk to my players, and then next thing... the security guard's given CPR.
Jeez.
Fire engine turns up, ambulance, blah, blah, blah. People are having to play around us.
That's crazy. And the guy's just out.
Completely out. His mate thought he was having a seizure.
Wow.
And it was quite frustrating because you're like, well, okay, is it a seizure? You don't really know what to do. And, you know, although it didn't freak me out, I just felt kind of helpless of not really knowing what to do.
Yeah.
Long story short, he's made a full recovery. Well, no, he's not made a full recovery yet, but he had a triple heart bypass a week past Monday. I know he listens to the podcast now. I know his buddy Ted is also listening. So less than a 10% chance if you have a out-of-hospital cardiac arrest, you have a less than 10% chance of survival. So
Well, I'm glad he's doing well. That's
we're
crazy.
Glad to hear that he's making a recovery.
Yeah, seriously. He got the help that he needed.
Yeah, I hope he comes back to play. Hope he and Ted comes back.
Was that his first time here?
That was his first time here.
You got to come back and finish around.
You can't remember any of it, apparently. Complete memory loss.
I can imagine. I mean, geez.
The one thing I took from it is don't be dehydrated when you go on the golf course, right? And potentially don't be doing things at first thing in the morning, like caffeine or alcohol, whatever, to then add to that dehydration.
Tough to tell people out here to do that when half their trip revolves around alcohol and most of them caffeine in the morning. But yeah, I hear you.
So
it's crazy. I mean, that's amazing. I'm glad he's doing well.
First time in 26 years I've seen it. But my wife, I think it's the third time in a year that she's been involved in something or that wasn't, she wasn't involved in that one, but twice in the previous
year.
Yeah,
I mean,
year.
You can feel it going up that hill, a couple other hills at other golf courses in the area. I mean, a young, healthy guy, you can feel it after you go up those hills. Your heart is pumping. And, pounding, you know, guys, overweight guys and guys who are unhealthy, I mean, they're at risk. I mean, your heart's pumping that fast. I mean, things can happen.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Well, you know who David McClay Kidd is? Golf, he designed Bandon Dunes first time round.
Oh, yeah, I've heard the name. Yeah,
he's a golf course designer, but his father was the superintendent at Glen Eagles for about 17 years.
Wow, great golf courses. Yeah.
They're not bad, they're okay. They're much, much better hotel than the golf courses, I'd say. The
hotel is beautiful.
It's beautiful. Yeah. But he actually told me that in his time there, he took about 12 or 13 people off the course dead.
Crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Mostly Scots, or?
Probably,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But they're all of the same age, physique, and they just had a full-on meal at the 10th.
Yeah, happens.
The King's courses.
You know. It's funny, that just brought back a flashback because I caddied in the Dunhill back in 2016, and we were at King's Barnes, and this is October. They play and you know the weather in Scotland in October, it's not typically that nice.
It's beautiful. What are you talking about?
When I was there, they had a...
Yeah. I compare November, December, and January.
That's true.
It's beautiful.
That's true. But they had an unusual heat wave when I was there. It was like 65 degrees. It wasn't like hot, but it was like 65, 70 degrees.
Yeah.
And this guy over... We're at Carnoustie. I wasn't Kingsmart. It was Carnoustie. And this guy's off on the side, and we're playing with Huey Lewis and Brendan Grace. And this guy's over on the ground over there, and he's having a heat stroke. Heat stroke. And Brendan Grace is like... Look at this. Come to Scotland at 65 degrees. The guy's having a heat stroke. It's like,
jeez.
Yeah. So, are you just saying there's not very many healthy people in Scotland? Or?
Wow. It's when you say, was it mostly Scottish people? It's like, what, Scottish people? Heart attacks? No, never. Where I'm from, Turnberry, I used to caddy for a lot of aspiring heart surgeons because the southwest of Scotland at that time, you can't quote me exactly in this, but I'm sure we're not out with the top four in the world now. It was had the highest coronary heart disease in the world. So where are you going to learn your trade?
For your heart surgeon.
Yeah. Because it's everything's deep fried.
Yeah.
Lot of smoking, heavy drinking. We also mentioned in the last podcast, I think, what did you say the worst injury you saw on a golf course was? Hemorrhoid popping, was that?
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, seeing hemorrhoid pop.
Yeah.
We were talking about people getting hit in golf by that, hitting in the head by golf balls.
Aye.
And then I added in that the worst injury that I had ever seen was a hemorrhoid being popped. Okay. Just to throw a little comic relief in there. It was getting a little hairy.
Well, I'm caddying for these guys because I'm going to name them. Stephen Portick and Kurt, his mate, Kurt Atanozic. I'm sure that pronunciation. Hey,
butchered that, yeah. But
butchered it. Sorry, boys. We're out very early morning and Stephen has to be, he's got a driver coming for him. Ooh, you know, no taxi or no Uber, he's got a driver coming.
Ooh. Yeah, so
we're teeing off at, say, 6:30, have to be finished by 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we're these two guys that are walking, we're in carts, we're flying, we're constantly waiting for these two lads. And we play the front nine in 2 hours. And I said, well, boys, it's not too bad. And Kurt said, do you think it'd be rude if we asked to just go ahead?
Yeah.
And I was like, mate, I'd have asked after two holes.
Yeah, tell him you got a flight to catch. Let's go.
So he then lays it out. Guys, you know, it was really nice playing, meeting you and all, but, you know, Stephen has a driver coming from. He's got a flight to make, and, you know, we'll not hold you up. You're okay if we go ahead? No problem. So we go to the 10th tee. It's a par 5. Kurt's got, they've got two separate golf carts. I think this is for the speed of play. That's now what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And they hit the drives in 10. I'm in the front cart with Kurt. We go around a corner, it's a left to right bend, and I hear this little bit of a noise behind. I stick my head around the back, and I see Stephen in this cart. Now, by the way, he's wearing a lady's visor.
No way.
He's wearing a lady's visor.
Does it have like the telephone thing in the background?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes.
And he was looking for a black visor, and the only thing they had was a woman's black visor.
Yes.
So as I turn around, I see the cart basically go perpendicular and hit the cart path, the curb, and hit him getting thrown out. So basically what happened is a Snickers bar and his phone fell out the left side of the cart.
You gotta dive for those.
He went to dive, kind of grab them,
His hand not was touching still on the wheel.
Yeah. The wheel then hit the right side of the curb. He then gets ejected.
Oh, no.
Right? And he's got long hair as well. So I see the whole thing. And the car actually flipped to the point where he got ejected and his hip hits the cart path. Like, horrible. And he's a big man. You know, he's solid. And he's skidding across the cart path. But the cart flipped down, and I think the roof hit him in the head.
Oh, no.
And then it bounced back up, and it was exactly perpendicular, you know, 90 degrees to the actual cart path. And these two guys that have just been told that they wouldn't get held
did
up.
Did they witness it?
Oh, they're standing.
Oh, it was right there?
It was right there, 30 yards. Man. And Steven's like, oh, yeah, don't worry, I got a driver, we won't hold you up. And next, like, 5 seconds, they're just looking in horror.
Call 911.
And myself and Kurt are just looking, going, speechless. Yeah. Absolutely speechless.
Wow.
And you think,
was the cart on its side, like resting on its side, or did it?
No, it flipped back up.
Oh, man.
So it bounced, it had bounce back ability. And I'm thinking to myself, I said to Kurt, how can you possibly do that? And he said, he's half Croatian, half Serbian.
Well, that explains it all.
And all of a sudden, you went, you know what? Spot on. So, you know.
Wow.
So the cart. Eastern Europe and.
Eastern European.
I tell you what, man, a lot of interesting stuff happens in your groups, man. Borat. Heart attacks, mm-hmm. Carts being flipped.
I think
flipped.
Borat's from Eastern Europe. He's from Western Asia.
Kazakhstan. I think Borat. Very nice. Very nice.
I like you.
Zabo, anything else going on with you?
Oh, man, just working nonstop. I had, you know, A lot of good loops lately. I had one the other day. I was coming off a 3-day job, and you know how they were like 12 players, so they mix and match players every day. So I caddied for the same guy the first 2 days, the same two guys the first 2 days, and then the third day they're broken up, so I can only caddy for one of the guy. But the other guy happens to be in our group, but he's paired with somebody else, and he just plays. The other guy that I caddied for the first 2 days just playing awful all day. He's at the big course playing awful, and he's a decent player, but I mean, he probably didn't make one or two pars all day, and he gets to the 18th hole, and he's got another caddy. I was like, you know, Steve, you've been screwing up all day, but you're going to birdie 18. I willed him to make birdie, and he ropes a drive, hits a second shot, and he puts it on the green to about 30 feet, and I said, I've never seen a putt that I knew more than this putt that was going on. I'm telling you, no matter what, you're going to make this putt. And then the other caddy who was caddying for him was like, you know what, you read this putt. He hasn't made anything all day. And I'm like, it doesn't matter who reads a putt. He's going to make it. I'm like, give me his phone. Let me take a video of this because he's going to make this putt. Because I mean, he was having a miserable day, totally upset. And I'm like, dude, I'm telling you, you're going to make this putt. 30 footer. And I did read the putt for him, but I mean, he would have made it anyways. And right in the heart, got a whole thing on video, just made his whole trip
boom,
to
biscuit.
Finish like that. Yeah. I mean, it's fun to have groups like that. And you can do that to people and just will them to make putts. The game is, I think, 90% mental. It really is. Once you get to a certain level.
I don't know about that. 90% mental.
I completely agree with Michael's statement.
Oh, if really? You're a good player, well, I'll give. Yeah, it
completely
is.
Completely agree with Michael's statement.
I'll weigh with you. That's nonsense.
Oh, it is.
90%.
What?
What happened about talent?
Well, talent. Once you get to a certain level, I mean, you gotta have a little talent to play the game. But once you get to a certain level, like if your mental game's not there, you're not going to make putts. You're not going to hit the ball good. You're not going to be able to score.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. I mean, what does that make me think of? I am just so like, I hate today. I caddied for the guy who, right out of the gate, first hole, he's making sarcastic, self-flatulating comments about his golf game.
Oh, better than about you.
Out of,
at least he didn't call you a tranny.
Yeah.
Out of
or a penis head or whatever.
You know, just the uncomfortability. And I just said, hey. I said, hey, Brian, listen.
Brian.
I said, Brian, you know, I said, I'm here to help you, man. And you know, that's not doing any good, you know? And so I said, how about you just give it your best shot? You think about the best possible outcome. And if it happens, great. And if it doesn't happen, we'll try it again on the next shot. He says, okay, sounds like a deal. I swear to God, by the time that I was thinking that this was the worst loop ever, right? One of them, right? Because we've all seen at least 100 of them. And the last hole, he's putting for birdie, barely misses it, gets his par. It was like the guy turned a whole page. But he was cocky, walking instant around. Happy. He pulled his head out of his ass, and it was because golf is mental.
It is, yeah.
Right? The guy sucked. He was holding the club at a 45-degree angle, forward pressed to the ground. In both of his thumbs, his grip was so strong that both of his thumbs, if you were holding a club like square to the ground, both of his thumbs were on the right side of the golf club, if not slightly underneath the golf club, with like the toe hooded. And I'm like, I can't even begin to start with you, bud. You are at that point, it's not much. Mental. I mean, and you know what? He was from Michigan. That's why he was so messed up. He was from Michigan.
Where's Michigan?
Yeah, it's the state that's shaped like a mitten.
It's in the armpit of the United States.
With all the water around it.
like a mitten? Talking about Brian's, I would say, the pleasure of working for a podcast listener.
Oh, is this the famous Brian Zilokoski?
Zilovsky.
Was he part of the KGB or what?
Close enough. Yeah, he was supposed to come to Monterey. This is about 6 weeks ago. This starts maybe 7 weeks, 8 weeks. And he sends an email saying he was listening to the podcast. He's coming out here to Monterey for a few days to play golf and can one of us caddy. So yeah. I'm like, absolutely. He asked how much he should tip, so I told him, and I says, I'll be there.
Meet you there.
unfortunately, there was a mix-up of communication, because Zabo was supposed to work for him on Saturday morning. I was coming home from Sacramento.
I was disappointed. I was about to head in for the loop. It was supposed to be at, I don't know, 10:50 or something, 10:50, and the caddy manager was like, it's not on the sheet, and turns out it was... A little earlier than that.
It's funny because I'd phoned the office.
Occasionally that happens.
Well, I phoned the office 2 days earlier and it was confirmed 10:50, and then next thing, and he changed it a long time previous. So,
gotcha.
You know.
It happens.
Anyway, you get a good caddy, and then I work for him Saturday, Sunday. But this is a guy who has listened to the podcast every episode twice. So
that's perfect.
He knows. I was basically sitting in a cart with his father-in-law, Big Mike, doing nothing.
Yeah, so because he realized after listening to all those podcasts, he's like, man, these caddies really don't want to do anything out there. Maybe I'll just like make them
happy. We just want to get paid and go home. I mean, what's so bad about that?
Gee, why don't you just ride in the cart? You know, if you have an idea about what this does in the green, just give me a shout.
That's what he did. That's what he
perfect.
Did. It was wonderful. It was the easiest.
Could be a whole new way of caddying.
He brought some Pueblo. Country club, that's where he plays in Colorado. He brought some shirts for us.
Pueblo.
Oh, really? Nice.
After we record this, you guys can choose.
Thanks, Brian.
Nice.
And he took me out for lunch with his family on Saturday afternoon.
Beautiful. You know, and I'll give him credit. He invited me to lunch as well after that, because he said, you know, Mike, come join me for lunch, but I did have to work that day.
Had to work. But no, he was absolutely wonderful. Now, the perfect, you know, scenario was Sunday. We play early and we're paired with this guy. His name's Frank or Fred, and his 9-year-old son.
Oh, jeez. That could go one or two ways.
Oh, it's awful. Mum's coming along as well for the ride, and we're second, third off. Oh, so you have a responsibility.
Yeah. Pressure's on.
You get tee times till 4 o'clock, and we're on the green, and I'm looking at my watch. We're 17 minutes, and this kid is 50 yards short of the green. He's thrown a flaky. Mum's screaming at him. The father, I think he was the father, not a care in the world, doesn't care about anyone par himself.
That's why he brought mom along to watch the kid.
Well, Brian's looking at me and he's just like, this kid shouldn't be here. This is killing us. And the whole experience, they got slightly better as it went on. They started picking it up. But I went across to the marshal and says, listen, you need to get on these guys early. But Frank, Fred, whatever his name is. Now, again, Brian's listening to the podcast, so he knows that we're not big fans of people just... You know, asking the odd question, no problem.
Yeah.
We'll sometimes offer it. But this guy, as I'm trying to explain to Brian where to hit the ball off the tee, this guy is literally coming in, butting in, going, what do I do here?
Mm-mm-mm.
And we're both, I just give him a filthy look.
Yeah.
Finish off with Brian, then say, yeah, hit it down the middle of the fairway. He's like, oh, middle of the fairway, okay. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, well, that's what you normally do.
Hit it where they mow it the most. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was the perfect scenario because there was no other caddy in the group, so it was not. But Brian's a listener, so I'm looking at him, and he's just looking at me, and we just wonderful.
Gets it.
But we played in 4 hours 25 minutes. We should have been round there in 3:25. His father-in-law Mike, like what a gem. But every green's an automatic two putt.
Oh, beautiful. You know? For Brian too.
Pretty much. Yeah. No bad lie. He's never had a bad lie in his life.
Oh, good.
But
you got a good caddy. You never will anyway.
Yeah, he's old school Italian. You boys would have loved him actually. Played
nice
from a place called Trinidad in Colorado.
Well,
so
Trinidad. Wait, yeah.
Old school Italian. Is it Lukowski?
No, well, he's not.
Oh, it's his father-in-law. Not his father. It's father.
Zielowski is half Polish, half Italian, but he's Big
Sounds
Mike.
Sounds mostly Polish, yes.
Big Mike is Vecchio.
I agree with you, Mike.
Big Mike's Vecchio. So, Brian actually invited me to his member guest next year. So,
no way.
Hopefully that happens.
Wow. At Pueblo?
Pueblo. Nice. I think so.
So, you mentioned a marshal. I had a really good, this was just yesterday, marshal. At the big course, we're on the seventh hole. We're waiting. We're waiting on the group in front of us on the tee box. This is a short par three. We're waiting on the tee box, right? So you follow me. We're waiting on the group in front of us on the tee box. The group leaves the green. We hit our tee shots. We're walking off the seventh tee box. The marshal yells at us, "You guys are behind. You need to pick up the pace."
Oh dear.
And the guy in my group has been coming here for 30 years. Plays 10, 15, 20 rounds a year at this golf course.
Oh, dear.
And looks at that guy and says, "You need to drive away right now." Unbelievable. I mean, situational awareness. There's a time when people are behind and you need to say something, and time when you need to understand the situation. And it just drives me nuts sometimes that you know, the marshals out there for the most part are very good. But, you know, when you have people not aware of the situations, you got to be careful out there.
Nice.
And it can ruin a person's round, especially a person, you know, someone like him. He plays this course all the time, but somebody coming from far away, I mean, playing it for the first time, that leaves a sour taste in somebody.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. There's an art to good marshalling.
There is.
But to give you a little old school story from a couple of years ago, there's an old school caddy used to work at Cypress Point, and
you know the old saying, "What does it take to be a caddy at Cypress Point?" Getting fired from Pebble Beach.
That's how you get hired at Cypress. Yeah.
Well, what are your qualifications? Well, I was fired from that place over there. You're hired.
I used to work over there. Oh, you're good.
Yeah. He went the opposite direction. But
okay.
He's walking down at the tee, and the group ahead of him, so he's not met his players yet, but he's just walking down, and the guys are on the blue tees, they're on the back tees, the Timmy tees, and the guy duffs it. He duffs it, doesn't get it past the gold. And this caddy goes, "Tee it forward, Dutch." And it turns out it's a professional hockey player, right? And
no way.
He loses it. He completely loses it. And he actually waits. he hits it in the ocean at seven and blames it on this comment that was made in the first tee.
Oh, wow. He's holding grudges.
And he waited for him coming off 18.
Off 18?
Yeah, he says, "You ruined my day."
No way.
Yeah, but he says, "Tee it forward, Duck."
That's awesome.
Brilliant. So,
wow.
Veteran move.
It's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Yeah. That's a funny situation, and it's unfortunate that the guy potentially got his round ruined, although that's his own personal problem.
Yeah, schoolboy chat. If you ask
Do you know the hockey player? It wasn't Jeremy Roenick by
no
chance,
idea.
Was it?
Because,
cared you for Roenick.
There's some stories behind with Roenick, yeah.
I know Wayne Gretzky. And Bob Proctor. Is that his name?
Bob Probert.
Probert, that's it. That's the only two.
You've caddied for Bob Probert?
No, the only two hockey players I know.
That would be like you and me talking about soccer. We know who Pele is, but beyond that,
he's not. His name's not Pele, it's Pele.
Yeah,
well, get it right.
Pele, whatever. We call him Pele in America.
Hey, what else you got, little B?
What else do I got? Well, I just thought it was funny. I wrote some notes down this morning, and I thought...
Very impressed, actually.
Yeah. Wow.
Did his homework.
Well, Mike hit three or four of my things all in the one thing. He said...
Wow.
Mike, you're
right. I didn't even know it.
Like, I had a chick the other day crawl up the face of a bunker to get out of the bunker.
That's a good move.
Yep. We were on 17. I was like, oh, man, shit, I'm almost out of here. And I'm sitting there at the bottom of the bunker with a rake, and she hits three shots, and she decides to crawl up the face of the bunker to exit the bunker. And
I love when people do that.
I looked at her, and I'm like, do you want to explain to me what you were thinking when you were thinking. Doing that just
You
want to
look at what you just caused in that bunker?
Yeah, and I looked at her friend, which I don't want to blame the woman who walked up the face of the bunker because she, you know, she had a little ADD. She was a little kind of a hyper, you know, a chatty Cathy hyper chick. And I'm looking at her friend to get acknowledgement of what I and her both just witnessed. Yeah. And she's over there, you know, shedding a tear almost, crying, because she knows what I'm thinking, and we just watched that happen.
Do you know, it's a bit like walking in the front door of a house, right?
Yeah.
And then going up the stairs, into the attic, onto the roof, and then jumping off. That's your way of getting out of the house.
Yeah.
Or even worse, like coming in with muddy boots and walking all over the house, trampling around, and then going in the middle of the living room and then taking your shoes off. Like, you've already done the damage at that point. Why even bother?
You've already done the damage. Yeah.
Well, yesterday I was working a Zabo job. It was actually a French-speaking job, wasn't it, Mike?
Thank you so much for doing that.
Oui, oui.
I tell you what.
Mosh papa lindy do.
Those people, that the Heffrons, very nice people. I met him 8 years ago, and which is a funny story because he came out. It was him and his brother at the time, Bill and Bob, great guys. From Boston, from my neck of the
woods.
And we're on the first day. He's like, yeah, we're really excited. This is a bucket list trip. This is unbelievable. This is the prettiest place I've been in the world. I said, Bill, you're gonna be back. Don't worry. You're going to be back every year.
Yeah.
And he's like, no. This is a one and done trip. And we were talking about this just yesterday. And he was like, you realize, Mike, that was 8 years ago, and I've been back every single year. I said, I told you, Bill, you'd be coming back. But great guys. I've known his kids forever. Mike and Sean and his daughter Allie's getting married, and they were out here for that. Mm-hmm. And she's marrying a French Canadian, Emile, who I've known for years as well, Emile. And Bill emailed me and he said, could you get a French speaking caddy? And wouldn't you know it, listeners, Big G actually speaks fluent French, which I thought was kind of BS. Yeah, I thought it was BS. I was like, okay, we'll see what he's got. So I invited him along and I pulled Emile off to the side yesterday. I was like, so can he really speak? He's like, dude, his French is impeccable. I was like, wow. Well, but thank you so much.
I speak a very good the English, the French too.
I'll tell you what, though. Have you ever seen four people in the same bunker?
Did they not have bunker awareness either?
I had three this afternoon.
Yeah,
but they thought it was funny. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? This is a four caddy for four. Technically, I don't even have to rake the bunker. It's your problem. But the guy had just bought me a cookie, and so
there you go.
They couldn't hit the putts where I told them to anyways. I was like, I'll just rake the bunker. You guys just finish up.
You just hack it into the hole.
Well, yesterday I saw four guys in the same bunker, which I don't think I've ever seen before. I think in Canada, maybe because the season's really short, maybe they don't have rakes or something, or maybe because, you know, they're quite liberal up there. They still have COVID rules or something.
Oh, yeah, they're not thinking you're raking the bunker or have to rake the bunker.
They were walking in circles, out one side, out the other. I'm doing it a few, and then we get to 18, and the one lad's in the bunker. He sees another ball about 30 yards up. And he just starts walking to it. I just threw the rake down. I went, I'm done.
Yeah, sorry. Can't do it.
That's one too many for me. Not my problem anymore. But lovely lads. But exhausting, you know, having to think numbers all day in French.
Oh, I can't even imagine. I do appreciate you doing that. No, thank you.
It was good.
That made their trip too. I mean, to have.
And to convert it.
Yeah.
I mean, to meters.
Oh, do you have to do that?
No.
Darn yards?
I said meters or yards, and they said yards is fine. I was like, but I know Canada do meters, surely. And he's like, no, we can do both.
Wow.
Can I? When I was talking about Peter Maller, the reason I'm complaining about the heavy bags was I actually did seven loops in 4 days, but it was a really early morning loop the fourth day, so it was a lot.
Yeah.
All walking jobs.
Oh, jeez, that's a killer.
You know, because, you know, for the listeners, you know, we have different types of jobs. You got singles, you get doubles, you can carry doubles, you can do a cart, you can do a four caddy, so you're not carrying. It's not
bad. Yeah, usually you're not getting seven carries in a row. But usually you break it up with a cart job.
To get seven carry jobs in a row, and then someone like Pedro Maller with 33 golf balls in the middle of it, that was tough.
Pedro?
Yeah.
Peter? I called him Pedro all day.
Pedro. It can be this, you know, kind of this. You got to be careful. That's why we set boundaries, because it can be the straw
that
breaks the camel's back.
Yeah,
I love that. And I love man buns.
You just slip up.
Boundaries.
Yeah, man. If you, this is what we're doing. And if you, it's only becomes your problem if your shoulder starts to hurt or your back starts to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the bottom line is we're out there to play golf, and whatever is in your bag that's weighing your bag down, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't matter.
I did have a wonderful experience last week. I went up to, you boys both know Jed and Terry Rissy.
Oh, yeah. Great guys.
Up in Sacramento, we've caddied for them for several years. They actually had their charity golf day, which they invited me up to do. That was wonderful. It was only 110 degrees in Sacramento.
That's it? Wow.
That was it.
Dry heat.
A dry heat.
I was cleaning my nose out on the Saturday. Almost need an ice pick. You know, that's dry heat.
A little more info than we need, but yeah.
Well, listen, we were talking about his elective surgery a couple of weeks ago.
Well, I know, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, you know? I mean, everybody who listens to the podcast knows about it.
So. Yeah, so it's it. But I'll go back on and I'll tell you who the charity was, because it was actually a really, really fun experience. The day before, I went up via Stockton. So people that are not familiar with California, we live in Monterey, which is pretty much in the middle of California. And you have to drive inland and up. So Sacramento is, what, 3.5 hours?
Yeah,
about that.
And a place called Stockton. I played with another podcast listener.
Wow.
Goldie at Stockton Golf and Country Club.
Wow, we're getting the invites, you know. If there's any you know, Pine Valley Seminole members out there listening, you know where to find us.
I tell you what, he's all about the money in the top end, isn't he?
Send me a shirt from
Stockton
your pro shop.
Stockton sounds nice, but there's a lot of other nice courses out
there. Do you
know
the guys were talking, they're like, oh, Stockton's a real shithole and whatever. I'll be honest.
It is the armpit of California.
Yeah, but anywhere where the sunshine coming from Scotland, I think it looks good. I thought it was a nice looking town. The golf course was wonderful. We had some lovely wings. Played with Big Daddy. He only lasted 9 holes. He's a big guy.
Big Daddy?
And a new guy called Double D. Yeah, he either played American football with or against your boy Tom Brady.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's a big lad.
He's not my boy anymore. He's a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Anymore. I'm a Patriots fan.
Okay. Well, so Goldie says, drive in the gate, park in the dirt, and then go to the snack bar and just get anything you want, food, drink, whatever. It's run by a guy called Damon, I think. Not the sharpest, but I'm there at 1 o'clock, and I'm going, well, how many cocktails has he had? Because it seemed like he was flying. He was either really slow, or he was hammered.
He lives in Stockton, yeah. Combination of both living in Stockton.
But yeah, that dry heat all the time really gets to you.
This course is wonderful, right? It's you know, 6,500 yards, tree-lined, so it's quite tough. It's accurate golf. But the snack shack, you hit it three, four times in the round.
Beautiful.
Because it's crisscross. It, yeah. Oh, Damon loves it. And every time we went past, Damon just seemed a little bit more inebriated. And at one point, we're on the 17th. Maybe the 18th hole, or 14th, I don't know what it was, right? Can't remember the hole. But Double D is over the ball, about to hit his shot, and this guy Damon is pulling in a branch of a tree, making it all, just right 20 yards back. And I wish I had my phone, because I was in the perfect position.
Just shaking it?
Yeah, I'm going, what are you doing? And then Goldie says, Damon, what are you doing? He's like, oh, it's like a dead branch. I've never noticed it before. And I'm looking at it going, it's 30 feet above your head. I don't think you want to be pulling that. But hey, maybe that's why he's so slow. But yeah, no, I love playing a bit of golf up there. I had to borrow Goldie's wedges, because a couple of weeks ago I was actually playing with Jed and Terry, and I snapped my wedge.
Oh, on purpose?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
What?
A little fit of anger.
I wasn't angry. It was a very, the boys I was playing with, they said, I'm really shocked. I've never seen anyone so calm breaking a club.
Oh, really? So clinical. You're just kind of zen-like?
I've just been
clinical. A clinical club break, folks.
Oh, textbook.
Oh, it was textbook. Yeah, yeah. I was literally.
Hit a bad shot.
My short game, my pitch and run, usually very good, and lately it's been rubbish. I'm going to get some new clubs anyway. And I'm just sick of it. So I just hit a shot and snapped it over my knee. Then I stabbed the grip part into a bunker.
There you go.
Just, you know, that's
a good move.
You know, it's like a cross in a cemetery.
Yeah, just let people notice it when they come by. Yeah. This is where the wedge went to rest.
And that was that. So anything else to add, boys, before we move on?
One time.
Okay.
One time, I threw my whole set of clubs into a pond.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Little B has some anger.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
I remember
that was a long time ago. That was 16 years ago.
Back 17. In the D? Smoking blunts?
No, it was actually in Florida. Oh. I was at the airport course in Sarasota or something.
Oh, Sarah Bay?
Sarah Bay, yeah. I guess. I don't know. It was by the air. It was like a par 3 course or something.
Oh, probably the Bobby Jones. Whatever. And, but I know where you're talking
I don't
about.
Know what happened. I flipped my lid. My buddies, they were giving me a hard time and calling my buddies, but you know.
Ancona Brothers? Or?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I just chucked them in the. I said, fuck you guys. I'm out of here.
Sounds
find
about
another
right.
way home.
Mike, anything to add, or do we move on to the U.S. Open?
I mean, we've talked. There's a lot to add, but nothing for this moment. We're
cool.
Good.
We got plenty more episodes to come. Excellent. Well, it was the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. It's 10 days ago. We're just going to give a quick rundown of the major talking points from that now. Now, the name of the podcast or this episode is called Ramming It. I wonder why that
Ramming
is.
Ramming It, right? Ramming It.
Ramming It.
Ramming.
Ramming. US Open from Torrey Pines 2021 finished last weekend or the weekend. Probably the best end to a golf tournament I have seen potentially ever.
Phenomenally exciting, and I was over the moon. It gave me chills to watch Rahm make that putt. That was absolutely amazing, and nobody deserved to win their first major more than that guy after what happened just a few weeks ago when he had a 6-shot lead and had to withdraw because of a positive COVID test. And to come back and win the US Open in the fashion that he did, amazing.
He won by one shot from Louis Oosthuizen, and then a bunch of other players came rambling behind. But he held birdie putt in 17 and 18. I'm going to go backtrack a little.
Okay.
You said, at certain level, 90% of golf is mental. And
that's
I would have to
number,
agree with you.
Yeah,
90, I'd say 99% because we saw it.
Oh, at that level, yeah.
Unbelievable. Did you watch any of it, Man Bun?
Yeah, I watched the last. I didn't see Rahm make all those putts because I was at work. But by the time I had gotten home, I was there to watch the last 15, 20 minutes. There long enough to watch Oosthuizen pull it in the shit.
Unbelievable, yeah, huh?
That was unbelievable.
He had 300, 400 yards to the right-hand side of that cliff. And finally decides to hit a draw.
Yeah, that's... and the only place to miss. They said even when he's about to hit the shit, well, he's going to miss it right because that's the only
place to miss.
You hit the fairway or you miss it way right because there's miles right.
Yeah,
and he hit the one place you can't hit it.
Yeah, I think it was for me it was all about patience, and we saw. I remember for my brief stint caddying for professionals, you would always think you had to shoot a better number than you actually had, whether it was to make the cut.
Yeah.
Or to finish top 10 or to win a tournament or to qualify for a British Open or a US Open. You always went out there thinking, I need to shoot 5 under, and you didn't. At level par, 1 under would have done. And I always go back to wee Rory, who just... And Brooks Koepka, actually. Those two guys who are the bombers, trying to hit the living daylights out of the ball and trying to make eagles and birdies when, honestly, a couple of pars here and there would have probably got them right in the mix and then leave it to 17, 18. So yet again, no patience from these guys.
Yeah, they were just everybody was folding. Everybody was folding.
I mean, have you ever seen so many players fold?
It was crazy. I mean, look at DeChambeau. I mean, it brought tears to my eyes. I mean,
I'm sure it
tears of joy. I mean, yeah, it was amazing. Did you see what he did?
Tears of joy to watch his dreams get crashed.
What did he make on that par 5-9? I mean,
he made an 8.
Yeah.
No, he made a quadruple.
Yeah.
But he was leading the tournament.
He shanked the chip. I mean, it was beautiful.
He's leading the tournament with 9 holes to play and shoots a 44 in the back, which I just don't.
44 hockey stick, 77 he shot on the last.
I'd be pissed if I shot 44 on the back.
Yeah. I would, yeah.
Unbelievable.
You'd throw your bag in the water.
Yeah, I'd throw absolutely. My bag over the in the gunshot at Torrey Pines.
Yeah, it was interesting. Like, there was so many people that could have jumped in. The Mackenzie Hughes, who's like a rising star from Canada. Unfortunate number 11, he hits the cart path in the par 3. Awful shot, right, by the way. Hits the cart
path,
I think
it's stuck
in a tree.
It hit the cart path and then got stuck in the tree. Yeah. It didn't fly into the tree and get wet.
Bounced up.
Carpet. For some folks, I've never seen it. Just not meant to be.
Luckily, they found the ball because he was. If you find the ball, they were able to identify. He was able to take an unplayable 2 club lengths from the spot up in the tree, which was good because he would have to re-tee it.
No, it's exactly, yeah. So yeah. Penalty stroke. But I don't think he never recovered from that.
No.
Oosthuizen, you got to say he choked.
Yeah, I certainly choked at the end.
I mean, he's been playing golf for, 35 years? 40 years?
Mm-hmm.
That's a choke.
I would say it's a choke. To me, it was, you get par 17, you know you're going to birdie 18, which he did, yeah. And at least go for a playoff. They have changed the rules with that. It used to be a Monday.
Yeah, 18 hole, and now it's just a two-hole aggregate. Yeah. And, which I kind of like, get the tournament over on Sunday, finish it up.
Yeah, you don't want to watch two guys slugging away on a Monday. No interest in that. And obviously, Rami won it. He was my pick. It's the first winner I've had of a major since Jason Day won at Whistling Straits.
Wow.
So it's been a long wait.
Yeah, Rami, I mean, he deserved it. It was great to see him win on Father's Day, on his first Father's Day as a new father. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's classic. I mean, good for him. He's going to win a lot more, too.
Now, there's an English guy leading it after halfway called Richard Bland. Now, I did mention him a couple of weeks ago because he had his first victory on the European Tour a couple of weeks ago. It was his first victory in 478 events.
That's crazy. And he goes into Saturday leading the US Open. That's insane.
Well,
at 48 years old.
At 48 years old, he's actually the oldest player to lead it halfway ever.
Lead a U.S. Open. Yeah, I can believe it. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, Phil just won the PGA at 51, but still, I mean, for Phil, that's a little different. This is Richard Bland, who nobody's really heard of. I mean, that's insane. Finished, I mean, he had an awful Sunday, but I mean, he still finished pretty high up.
Tied 50th he finished. Yeah. So.
Tied what?
50th.
50th?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Was it that bad?
Oh, yeah.
Completely
fell apart.
Man. But Streelman again. Streelman had another really strong finish.
Your boy Streelman.
I mean, he didn't play great on Sunday, but I'm telling you, you want to see a tournament that he has potential to win? You watched it. No. He's not even in the British Open. It's funny you say that because Larry Fitzgerald was texting me like, oh, man, this is going to be great. Is he in the British? I'm like, nah, he's not even in the British because they take the, you got to be top 50 to get in the British, and they take those rankings from the 22nd week of the official world golf ranking. We're in week 26, so they already took the top 50 from those weeks, so he's not in unless he wins, which I think he has a good chance at the Travelers Championship this week. You heard it here?
Yeah, the bromance.
Dude.
Every tournament, you think
how good is Streelman playing, and he's won there before, I'm telling you. This is...
Okay.
Got potential. Hey, you heard it.
Excellent.
He'll be right one of the weeks.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
I never called him to win a tournament. This is the first tournament I ever called him to win. I mean,
just for the listeners, Zabo's telling me all the time, oh, he's going to win this one, he's going to win that one, he's going to win this one.
Well, he is going to break through soon, but...
Flagsticks. Did you see the number of people hitting flagsticks?
Yeah, they were kind of bouncy.
Mickelson hit one. Sergio hit one.
I didn't see the Mickelson one, but the Sergio one was dreadful. I mean, he hit it from, had to have been 30, 40 yards off the front of the green, and it came right back to his feet. All like exactly feet. Where he hit the ball from. It was crazy. And he hit a perfect shot, too.
Those flag sticks are 1/8 inch thicker than the ones they use in the PGA Tour. They're also tapered. So that may be a reason.
Where did you pull that? Did they say that on the telecaster?
No, I found it online. Wow. I went down to San Diego and measured them.
There you go. Nice.
Now, Torrey Pines itself, I'd always heard that the pros don't like it as a course, but the way they set it up looked very, very nice.
Yeah, it seemed fair enough. I mean,
it didn't look hard. It didn't look a hard golf course. That's what that was going to be one of my points.
Yeah. It wasn't like the brutal U.S. Open setup some places are.
Shinnecock Hills.
Yeah.
Or even at Pebble Beach, the conditions were very mundane. There was no wind and it was soft. Yeah. But the rough was brutal.
Yeah, brutal. It didn't look as bad at Torrey.
It looked as if it's a kind of course. I've been down to Torrey Pines just the once, just to drink a few cocktails and oversee the golf course. But it actually looked like a place I really want to go and play golf.
Yeah, I'd be down.
Yeah. Okay, we'll try and make that happen. A little bee, anything to add about the US Open?
No. I'm glad Rom won. I kind of wanted to see Oosthuizen at least tie it up. It was weird to just watch him pull it left and then literally just like choke.
Yeah.
Well, and then he when he did that, and he ended up making what he made bogey, so he's two shots back, and then he's got 18, which is an eagle hole, and he hit a decent drive, but he hit it in the rough, and they were going over the numbers, him and his caddy, and he realized he couldn't get there, and it was like, oh, because he wanted to so bad, but he's like, I can't do it. I can't get there. So he couldn't hit any sort of wood or hybrid that was going to get him there. So it just kind of gutted to see it end like that. He had no chance but to hole out a third shot.
Well, Ram was hitting on Sunday. He was hitting a little cut all day.
Yeah.
And how he stays and goes from doing what he normally hits, like a little cut as well or straight, and he starts pulling the ball.
Crazy.
I was shocked.
Choked. I mean.
He did. Yeah, a little bit of a
choke. Best swing in the world, and he choked.
It's mental, and I think it was actually, I pointed out to some of the golfers since the tournament, it's good. I actually quite enjoy seeing that because these people are still human. You know, they're not perfect, and they choke. The Shambo one is, I don't take pleasure in watching that like some people. I don't dislike him that much.
I saw another good stat about DeChambeau, and because the Brooksy and DeChambeau thing. Did you see DeChambeau jump in the middle of Brooks's interview? He jumped into the camera again because he saw Brooks was having it. But anyways, so 17 majors they've played together. Uh-huh. They've played in the same major 17 times. How many times do you think DeChambeau's beaten Brooks in 17 majors?
None.
Two. So 15 out of 17, Brooks has got the upper hand.
Yeah. Okay. How many more majors will John Rahm win?
Oh, sky's the limit. He's
26.
Is he that young?
Yeah, he's 26-year-old.
Oh, he's going to win. He's going to win 7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
I think he's going to win a bunch.
He's going to be a career golfer.
He's good.
Cool. Okay, well, we're going to move on now to our notable mentions, couple of mailbag questions, and a bell end of the week. Okay, so moving on to the end of the episode, as always, we have some questions from the listeners. First one, these are quite pertinent. I made sure I picked certain questions based upon what I knew we'd talk about. What are the best types of rakes for raking bunkers, and what is the best technique? That comes from George North in Lancaster. That's in England. So best types of rakes, boys.
Best types of rakes are the ones that they give you during COVID-19. The ones that don't exist when you're not to rake the bunkers.
Yeah, just kind of kick your shoes around in there and walk out.
That's actually very funny. I'll be honest. I used to work as a greenkeeper for a short time. Wooden.
Yes.
With small teeth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Love those. You see those a lot at like the higher-end private clubs, but those are the best. They do the best.
The cheap plastic ones that we used to have out here, horrific, and it, like fiberglass was coming out into your hand.
The ones with the long teeth are the absolute worst.
Yeah. The worst.
Terrible.
Technique would be jump in the middle and push up the way to where you just came in, because most people push the sand down.
Yeah, I generally I do a pull first. I smooth it out. I pull, then I push. I think you always finish with the push. I agree with you there. You got to push to finish.
Well, I remember watching a guy called Keith. Yeah, he was a Scottish guy. I remember him. I remember when it was. It was in the bunker, short right of the 12th green at Turnberry in the Ilse course, and he jumped in. This was before I ever became a greenkeeper. I was about 15, and I watched Keith do it, and he jumped in. It was beautiful.
Straight up.
Straight up. And then he came out the bunker and pulled one last time towards him.
Yeah.
That was it was immaculate. But some of the rake jobs we see.
Oh, they're abysmal. Yeah.
I actually watched a guy last week. This is classic, actually. Andrew Giordani, or Giordano. He's one of you lot as well.
What do you mean by one of you lot?
A greasy Italian.
Hey.
Hey, take it easy.
I'm Sicilian. There's a difference, pal.
Take it easy. Andrew was in town for a couple of days, and we played with two complete beginners, two brothers. I think they were called Will and John, maybe. John is in a bunker, right? 16 at the wee course, and he's walking. So he's walked in, and now he's walking out with the rake. And he's got the rake at the side. He's raking his footprints that he came in the way, but he's making footprints in the way.
That's classic.
It was wonderful.
That's classic.
And we're like,
that's awesome.
Oh, it was brilliant. So, there you go. So wooden rake, small teeth.
Yeah,
and rake out the way or push up the way. Don't push down.
Yeah,
from the bunker.
Correct.
Okay. Next one. Do you think Ram changing from TaylorMade to Callaway postponed his first major win? That's from Max in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it changes changes in manufacturers. There's different equipment, so for sure it changes the game, but those guys are so good and adjust so well. I don't really think so.
I would have to disagree. I think that...
I would say any change from something that you've been used to for a while
mm-hmm.
definitely could have postponed his major.
Yeah, listen, if Michael Schumacher had gone from... Well, he did. He went from driving, say, like a Williams car to a Ferrari or something. There's a time period.
Yeah.
And I think with Ram, we saw that he kind of, I wouldn't say disappeared, but he lost form for a while. And the shafts, the heads, working with new people, I think it did postpone it. I think he might
have. You think that's what's going on with Rory? You think just the long-term switch from Nike to TaylorMade is just holding him back? He's just so used to those Nikes he played for so long.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think that's probably
what it was. There you go. Maybe you should go back to Nike.
There's the excuse. So, yes, we all agree on that, Max. You agree with that, Brandon?
Absolutely, I do.
We don't all agree on that, but yeah.
Oh, no, actually, no, Zabo doesn't. So, but hey, what does he know? Last question. When does Man Bun plan to cut off the bun? That's from Jay Wallace, California.
I can't answer that, Man Bun.
Man Bun.
Jay, yeah, I don't plan on cutting it off, really.
No.
Ever.
I plan on cutting it off, though.
Yeah. You're going to sleep at some point.
I do. I plan on cutting off.
I thought about cutting it off, but no, I like it too much.
I see that glass of water I poured you about 20 minutes ago that has a sedative in it.
You look a little sleepy. So,
there was an old caddy that used to work with us called Jamie Hawkey. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And he had a mullet.
He did. He rocked that thing.
He used to tell the best stories, but he told us once that his brother was getting married. His family didn't like her family, but they all went to her place for the wedding. She said, whatever you do, don't drink. And of course, they love to drink.
Oh, yeah.
Night before the wedding, he goes out, gets hammered, and he sleeps on the couch, and he wakes up in the morning, and he's facing this coffee table, and she got her payback because she cut his mullet off.
Oh, no.
When he was sleeping, and I just laid it in the coffee table.
Son of a bitch.
Oh, yeah. Such a move
right there. And he said, like, 3 years later, they get divorced. So it was, like, pointless anyway, so... Beautiful. Thank you for your questions. If you have any questions, you can email them in podcast@glorifieddonkey.com or send them in on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's all under Glorified Donkey. Bell end of the week, boys. Do we have any nominations?
Who can we nominate?
I've got two.
You got two? I mean, I'm trying to think of bad going-ons at the US Open. I can't think of many.
Oh, one thing I forgot. Did you see the video of the streaker?
Oh, no. We need a new award for that. That's certainly not a bell-end. That was classic. That was right behind DeChambeau, too.
Yeah. So, I did not know about this.
Oh, it was beautiful.
He runs out onto the middle of the fairway, starts dropping a couple of golf balls, and I don't think he was butt naked.
No, he had a cape on, yeah.
Yeah, and he starts hitting some golf balls. Security come out. They try and huckle him. And eventually... he's running away, and this cart comes in, and this security guy comes out, jumped out, tackled him. It was the tackle was fantastic. And
at first, I would have given him the pun, because I saw it and I was like, "Oh, that's not right." I was like, "He's hitting players' golf balls." I was watching it with my wife, and she's like, "No, no, no, he brought his own balls." I'm like, "Well, kudos to him, man. Hey, he brought his own golf balls.
He brought his own balls." Yeah. Excuse the pun. Yeah. well, I'll tell you, I watched the video of Jordan Spieth in the range.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
This guy hits a bad shot and then proceeds to swing 5, 6, 7 times, just ripping up divots.
I don't get it. Just chopping up the grass.
Yeah,
chopping
up. He's got
a lot of anger. He's got a lot of built-up stuff going on in there.
I think to myself, this prima donna is making $25 million a year. And you get some poor greenkeeper probably making $20,000-$25,000 a year. And on the range at 4 o'clock in the morning for a US Open, he's probably back in the evening, you know, struggling to make ends meet. And this knob jockey is just tearing the place up. So
knob jockey.
I like that term too. Yeah.
A knob jockey.
That's up there with Lashley at Pebble Beach slamming the 16th green. I mean, shocking. Yeah. Come on.
Come on, guys. Have a bit. I don't mind. As I say, I'm a club snapper myself. I love throwing clubs. I love people, you know, but don't tear up the golf course.
Own equipment is fine, but you start tearing up golf courses. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Now, I did have Peter Mahler, Mr. 33 golf ball in there for the
Oh, yeah. He's 33 and golf balls will get you a nomination.
I will, but yeah. I tell you what, the Spieth gets it for me. Yeah.
Agreed. I'm with you. You can't give it to
Spieth. Sorry.
Yeah. You're the Bubba Watson.
You're the new Kuchar.
Bell end of the week. Okay, notable mentions, lads, before we head off. Who you got?
I would like to give a shout out to Mike McCurdy from Midland, Texas. I had a great time with you guys. It was just a lot of fun. Thanks for the meals. Thanks for the good times.
Oh, the meals.
Oh yeah. Wow. We went out to lunch and dinner. We had a good time.
Can't beat that.
Did you wear a dress? Was it one of those types of relationships?
You know, I clean up well. I put my watch and my nice shoes on and a nice shirt, and people are like, God damn, Brandon, you clean up well. Look at that hair. And I also want to give a shout out to Can Tamson. Can, I hope you're listening. I told you I'd give you a shout out on the next podcast, and here it is.
There you go. Hi, Ken. Zabo, here you go.
You know, you were just talking up. You were going through some guys who bought stuff in the Glorified Donkey store, and he's like, I got this Chris McCoppin here. I was like, Chris McCoppin, I caddy for that guy for years, so I got a shout out to him. I didn't even know he's listened to the podcast, but that's great. So what's up, Chris? Looking forward to seeing you guys in September. Always a good time with you guys out here. Hope the whole clan comes out again, as I know you will. Also, got a shout out Mike Weiss and Bob Lake, who I just had dinner with. I caddy for them every year in the New Year's tournament. And they started listening to the podcast and love it. So shout out to those guys.
Hey, guys.
Hey. Hey,
guys. And also the Heffrons who just came in. Bill, Bob, Sean, Mike, Emil, everybody. Good to see you guys. And good luck on the wedding, Emil.
Yeah, I have to say hello to Jay Callivan, who a few weeks back were bigging up Oklahoma Golf with Big Tony. And you know, we know a bunch of guys from Oklahoma. And he actually texted me pretty offended that I didn't mention him.
Oh, well.
I tried to, I did lie. I said, oh, no, don't worry. It's in the next one, which was the last one. I totally forgot again. Oh,
there
so,
you go. Well, Jay, now you're being mentioned.
He sent me a text. He said, yeah, make sure these dates are available in September. So I look at the calendar today and I said, can you double check your dates for September? Because I think you got the dates wrong slightly. And he texts back saying, no, 2022.
Huh?
I was like, I'm a Scottish caddy. I might be dead. 18 months?
Yeah, 18 like that's, months.
You ever had a request
that far? More than
2 months
out, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow, never mind 18 months, Jay. But hey, anyway, hello to him. Again, just the guys we mentioned earlier on, Brian Zielowski and Big Mike from Colorado, Goldie, Big Daddy, Double D, what a great time up at Stockton. And please say hello to Damon, the kind of retarded guy that works at the snack bar there, or drunk, I don't know, or both. And then Jed and Terry Rissi, that's the boys from Iron Mechanical. Now, the name of the charity is called, they started, it was called Copper for Kids because they're big into construction. So they would start collecting all the copper from the construction site, sell it, and then the money went to, I think it's called the Stanford Sierra Youth and Families. So that's up in the Sacramento area. And basically, it's trying to get kids out of foster care.
Oh, wow.
So they raised up over 120 grand last Friday.
Which, trying to get them like adopted or?
I think so. I think obviously there's a certain amount of money for background checks, paperwork. You know, there's a lot that goes into adoption, no doubt, to find them a permanent family. So that's a really good cause. They've been doing it for, I think, 8-10 years, but it's called Copper for Kids. And I'm sure if you Google that, you can check that out. Hopefully we'll be definitely going up there again next year. Boys, thank you very much for your time tonight. I know it's late. I know it's getting kind of a little humid, a little sticky.
It is crazy.
Yeah,
unusual for her.
So yeah, little B, we'll speak to you soon. Enjoy
Thanks
your holiday.
Thanks for having us on, Big G.
You're heading back to the Big D.
I'm heading back to the Big D. Going to play a lot of golf. My sister's getting married.
Oh, nice
gonna
one.
Go awesome. Spend time with my family. It's going to be a You're good time. Try Probably and catch the most golf I'll play all year is going to be in the next 3 weeks.
Are you going to try and catch a couple of loops at the old haunt?
Ooh, yeah.
Smoke. I wish that used to be a summer tradition until the members fired the old head pro and the young slick cool guy came in.
Slick
and,
Rick.
You know, I've had conversations with him, but last time I went to go in, I mean, it was COVID times, but it just isn't, it didn't feel like home anymore. Mm-hmm. And even though it still does, he made it not feel like home.
Yeah. Slick Rick rhymes with Zabo. What you got, you know, thank you. Oh, again, just, I'm losing my plot there.
Thanks for having me on. Yeah. I'm actually headed back to my home as well, back in Rhode Island. So.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Rhode Island. Take it easy.
Yeah, a lot of golf for me there as well. So.
Yeah, perfect. We'll definitely be back in 2 weeks with another episode. I'm not sure yet who's going to be on, what we're going to be doing. But until then, many thanks for listening. Follow us on all the social media. Please rate, review, and share the podcast if you enjoyed it. But until the next time, enjoy your golf. But more importantly, keep it humble.